Nearly 30 years ago, the lives of Roberta and Vincent Roper changed forever when their college-age daughter, Stephanie, was murdered. And in those three decades, Stephanie's mother and father have spent countless hours working for the rights of crime victims. But Roberta, I can only imagine for you and your husband, Vince, what this milestone reaching 30 years must be like. Is the pain still as great, without sounding so obvious, as it was the day that Stephanie was murdered?
Well, there remains a giant hole in our family's life that nothing can fill. That's the reality. However, the loss is softened by the memories of our daughter and all that the good that has been accomplished in tribute to her. So that makes our work worthwhile.
And you will be honored for your work with crime victims and for the rights of victims of crime throughout Maryland in the coming week in the legislature with several resolutions. What goes through your mind when you think about that type of honor and recognition?
Well, it's not so much the personal recognition, but all that has been accomplished to benefit all victims of crime in our state. In looking back to April the 3rd, 1982, this proclamation recognizes the consequences of the event of that day, and they were the catalyst for the victims' movement in our state, if not for that. And it would not perhaps have occurred in the way it has. And certainly some of us look back at that time as the dark ages, if you will, because 30 years ago, crime victims literally had no rights in the criminal justice process other than to serve as witnesses if they survived the crime. Today, and in a more enlightened era, victims have a wealth of rights to participate if they choose in the criminal justice process and community services to promote their healing. So it's a vastly different time. Those efforts and the efforts of many people have placed Maryland really in a distinguished position, having all of these rights, and probably the most significant is the constitutional amendment that was passed in 1992 to provide victims with standing to assert their rights in the criminal justice process. So it's been an amazing 30 years. No, none of us would have imagined in our wildest imaginings that it would require this effort, this time, but the results speak for themselves. The culture has changed. It isn't perfect, but we are most grateful to the courageous leadership in the Maryland General Assembly, people who have been with us from the beginning, but those who have joined us in our journey as we have progressed in having laws implemented. As I said, it's not perfect, but it's also significant to note that on Tuesday, April the 3rd, when this proclamation is presented, there will be a hearing of House Bill 666 in the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee that would, if approved, finally provide enforcement power to victims' rights. One of the things lacking in all of the rights for crime victims is, as the Maryland Court of Appeals has described it, these rights lack adult teeth, that is, enforcement power. And so we are hoping and confident that the efforts of this sponsor of House Bill 666 and the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee will approve it, and this will be another milestone.
You said, Roberta, that the culture has changed. When we do some reporting here, though, we do still see where it seems like that maybe authorities still aren't getting, the public still isn't understanding what crime victims go through. Do you really believe that we are still changing, or do you believe that people do get it now?
I think both assessments are accurate. There is a general consensus that crime happens to other people. It's not going to happen to me because I live in the right neighborhood. I have raised my children properly. I'm following the law, etc. And that's a way to protect our own vulnerability, if you will. And but in that light, we often blame the victim, and undeservedly so. If you were to be in our conference room right now. The walls are covered with the photos of just a fraction of the thousands of crime victims whose families we have served. And I always point out to visitors that crime does not discriminate. It's all of us. There are babies. There are young children. There are teens. There are young adults. There are older people, grandparents, parents, brothers, sisters, friends, of every race, economic status. It doesn't matter. People incorrectly assume that it's not going to happen to them, and it's not, so therefore it's not their problem. On the other hand, I do see cultural changes, because I do see the prosecutors and the courts and corrections certainly more cognizant that there is a victim who has standing and has certain rights to participate, that is, to be informed, to be present and heard, unlike my family that had none of those rights 30 years ago. However, many of us strongly believe that until the Constitution of the United States, which is the highest law of the land, is amended to reflect those rights in our fundamental law, we will constantly be waging these battles. There is an effort in the U.S. Congress today. A proposed amendment to the United States Constitution was introduced on March the 26th. It would do what many of us believe is our fundamental right to justice.